Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes. Without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble Podcast. I am Luke Owen and I'm joined by El Fakeador, Laurie Blake.
Hello.
Hey, man.
How's it, mate?
How's it going?
Yeah, grand, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, very well, thank you. It's been a bit of a controversial week on the old Wrestle Ramble Podcast because, I'll fill you in because it'd be good to get your perspective on this story.
Right, hit me with it.
So, Ollie Davis, you know the loos we've got upstairs?
Yes.
Ollie Davis went to go use those loos and was standing at a urinal.
Yes.
And then I also had to go to do a toilet. So I went up there and used the other urinal that was next to it because there's only two that's there.
Sure.
Ollie found this to be perplexing and...
Because there was a cubicle free, right?
There was one cubicle free. And Ollie Davis found this to be almost an invasion of privacy.
Ollie Davis has stage fright.
And I mean, Andy Datson revealed that if there is anyone else in the toilet, then he just won't use it and he will just like leave until it's completely empty.
So, I mean, there's been studies into this, right? Like people's use of, like men's specific use of urinals has been studied. I was reading a thing the other day and it said like, if you've got five in a row and one man is on the one on the end, someone will always go and use the one furthest away.
Yeah.
And then they will pick the center one. And then only then, if they're feeling brave, will they go into the middle, the two that are now in the middle.
That makes sense.
That makes sense. However, there are obviously people who don't respect those rules. Because this is an unwritten rule of being a bloke, isn't it? That you don't just rock up next to someone having a wee.
Yes.
Because it's just weird. I don't know why we've decided...
But there's only two there.
Yeah, no, that's... I think... That's fine. I don't. There's nothing. If there's only two, what are you going to do? Wee in the sink? Like it doesn't matter. Like I think, but in a room where there are more, you're nuts if you go stand next to someone who's having a wee.
Absolutely.
Like,
yeah.
It's aggressive.
It's aggressive.
It's like a. I don't know.
It's a bold play.
Yeah. It's like an alpha move, isn't it? You think it's an alpha move, but it actually just makes you a dick. That's what it is.
So it's a Bobby Lashley move.
Yeah. It's a Lashley. A slashly.
There it is. Because we did like a Twitter poll and everything. It came back 60-40 agreeing with Ollie, thinking that I was in the wrong for using...
Well, you just might have, hemmed his flow or whatever.
Well,
you know.
I mean, I think he made it weird by talking about it and talking to me then while I was weeing.
Right.
So I think he made it worse.
I mean, I just don't know why as a society we've decided that just because men can stand up and have a wee... I don't want this to be some sort of men's rights activists like diatribe used in the future. But like, why have we decided that it's just cool for like there to be an option that we just have to see other dudes' dicks? Why can't they just put a bit of wall between urinals?
Yeah, like a blocker.
Yeah, like just something just that takes the line of sight away, I think, is the
line of sight.
Like the idea that someone might see my penis
puts
me off having a wee in public.
Well, it's very much this podcast that we decided to use Warhammer terms in terms of All right. Well, I'll tell you what, let's crack on with the NXT review. We've got some emails in the outro, but we're going to be talking about EC3, what's possibly next for him in NXT, and those rumors of a main roster call-up. Here's the show. This looks like it might be the last time we have to use the What Next for Blank video series, which I had a horrible thought might be...
forever.
Well, yeah, at least for the next few weeks. Mm-hmm. But thankfully, NXT have done some TV tapings over the last... well, last night, in fact. Mm-hmm. So, we are going to get some brand new material as of next week. So,
stuff's going to happen.
Thumbs up for that, because I had... So, recently, a bit of a plug here for the Patreon page. We recently just did a review of NXT TakeOver Toronto, which obviously took place in November over Survivor Series weekend. And that was the year... it was 2016. Mm-hmm. And once that finished, they didn't tape anything until the following year. So, like, all of December was a total write-off.
Yeah, it was just... promo package land.
It was promo package. It was pre-taped stuff. It was stuff from house shows, which means we saw Shinsuke Nakamura versus Samoa Joe about 25 times, because it was always the main event of the house shows. So, thankfully, we're not getting that this time. We're going to get brand new stuff next week. But let's go to the topic at hand. What is next for EC3? Because... interestingly, PW Insider reported last week, I believe it was, that the original plan was to call EC3 up to the main roster after SummerSlam.
Oh.
So he was going to get a main roster call up. According to Mike Johnson of PW Insider, EC3 was not meant to be a long-term thing in NXT. They just wanted to bring him in, redo the character, or, you know, introduce the character to the NXT audience, maybe get him up to speed with new WWE, you know, HR and things like that.
Yeah. And fill his forms in, basically.
Exactly, yeah. You got all the forms and that.
It's much easier to hand them in if you're at the performance center.
Yeah,
that's why.
Yeah. Pass the theory test and all that sort of stuff. Get your license and then just go straight up to the main roster.
Yeah.
So the problem is that during his Brooklyn match with Velveteen Dream, he suffered a concussion. Mm. And that essentially squandered all plans for his main roster call-up, which is why he's more or less done nothing in NXT since, because, effectively, they had no plan for him long-term in NXT.
No.
So if they're not going to be calling him up in the next few, like, months or whatever, if they're going to wait off until WrestleMania to give him the call-up instead, because he's clearly not being called up post-Survivor Series, mm-hmm. Lars Sullivan is instead, what is next for EC3?
Well, so we have obviously one bit of news regarding this at the end of this match on the show today where he's against Marcel Barthel.
Mm-hmm.
He calls out Bubbles Fish.
Yeah, and it wasn't the Undisputed Era as a whole. It was specifically Bobby Fish, because a couple of weeks ago, Bobby Fish targeted his leg in a post-match beatdown.
Yes, and that was the start of Bobby Fish's obsession with other people's knees.
Yeah, which is something that wasn't really played up a lot in War Games. I think you and I sort of fantasy booked that in our own head.
Yeah,
it wasn't really a thing.
I just thought it would be the thing he might do. Because he's been going after people's knees in matches and stuff. When he's in other things, it seemed like it was what was going to happen. So, obviously, there's unfinished business between EC3 and Bobby Fish that I already know plays out in the NXT tapings.
No spoilers here, of course.
Yeah, I won't go into it, but I have been looking at it for the news today. Mm-hmm. And if you don't want spoilers, don't watch my news either. other reviews.
Spoiler central.
It's quite hard to say what's going to happen without really being like, I know what's going to happen. I know exactly what's going to happen. But I also think this is sort of a placeholder thing for him to do for the next 4 weeks or whatever. So that will take us up to, you know, January, and then I don't know what they're going to do with him after that. I think it's just maybe another shot at the North American title, but in just one of those like challenger matches that doesn't really go anywhere. Probably on TV rather than a takeover.
Yeah, I could definitely see it being a TV thing, very much a TV-based feud. Yeah.
Unless they're going to do a bigger match. Is it Phoenix, the next takeover?
Let's say it is.
Is that the WrestleMania
one,
though?
I'll tell you what, I'll do a quick...
I'll do
a Google Live on air.
So whatever the next takeover is, I imagine that you could do another multi-man North American Championship match, because that's just a fun... I don't think there's any sort of... beyond the Dunn... maybe they'll do Dunn and Ricochet, actually. So
yeah.
Maybe that's completely squanders what I was just thinking.
Uh-oh. Well, you need to fill some time, because I'm still Googling.
But you could. If you were not going to do that, you could do a multi-man North American title match, or you could even do like a one for the main title.
It is Phoenix.
It is Phoenix. And when's that? Is that?
That's in January, yes.
That's not WrestleMania weekend.
No, the end of January. It's Royal Rumble weekend. It's the end of the Rumble. Well, before the Rumble, rather.
So, yes. So, they're probably Dunn Ricochet, maybe?
Yeah.
Or they might say Dunn and Ricochet one-on-one for the WrestleMania weekend.
That's what I was thinking, and do the triple threat with Cole. At least that's sort of like the direction that you feel like they're heading into, although I could very much be wrong on that one. But yeah, so EC3 had a good TV match. This was overall a solid episode of NXT. It needs an impact for a second then. It's a solid EC3 on the brain. This was
what is Luke doing in the impact zone?
This was a solid episode of NXT. It was a taped house show, more or less, where they did a few matches here and there. Nothing was really advanced.
No.
Like, nothing was really done. There were some backstage bits and pieces, but this was a placeholder show to get us through until this new set of tapings.
And you can tell because the lights on the ramp were too bright. And that is why it was definitely a house show, because they did not have the normal lights. And when the Mighty came out, and they were like, it's like they had descended from heaven. It was like, here they are. So, okay.
All right, here they are then.
And then Lars Sullivan didn't get to do his full proper introduction bit.
No, absolutely not.
Which looks weird when you get to see it, and he's just crawling around on the floor to get in position to stand up.
And EC3 didn't do, like, because the big crash zoom that he does, when he does, like, the big head turn to look at the camera, they don't do that bit as well. So he just sort of stands there, still doing it, but there's no camera with it. It just looks a bit weird that way. But it was an absolutely fine match. He had a match against Marcel Bartel, who I am a big fan of. I do like, though, that they've kept Bartel. They've still given him the ring camp music.
Yes.
But it's like a rubbish version of it. Mm. It's incredible, really, how you can essentially, you can do the ring camp music. One of the best themes, presentation-wise, it's just one of the best themes in wrestling going. And yet somehow, this one feels like a lesser version.
Is it? It's a natural piece of music, right?
Yes.
So WWE have just gone for whatever the first unlicensed bit of that music is.
That would be my guess, yes.
Just gone, that one.
That'll do.
But that's interesting with him as well, because I was reading on Wikipedia earlier in my bit of research about like other things, and it just said he was signed specifically to NXT UK. Rather than NXT America brand. So
that would make sense, I suppose, because if with Volta going across to NXT UK specifically, like, he's not going to be part of the US takeover. I mean, Dave Meltzer was saying in The Observer, the plan with Volta and the sort of the deal that he's got, that WWE were offering him contracts all year long, essentially. Like, from WrestleMania onwards, they've been offering him contracts, and he's kept saying no.
This one?
Nope.
Nine.
Absolutely.
This one?
Not.
Nine.
They do this not want. Do nine. Not. No thanks. I'm good, Tar. The reason being is because he didn't want to.
Just doing that and just going.
No thanks. It's because he didn't want to move out of Germany.
Yes.
So this deal that he's got with NXT UK is, you know, thumbs up, because he just has to go over to the UK to do TV tapings and the takeovers that they're doing. If we're going to get those on a regular basis, I guess we're getting the first one in January. Mm. And then he can just go back to Germany and work with WXW, who have a working relationship with WWE. So he can continue doing stuff with them. But Dave Meltzer did say that there's a possibility he still could do US takeover shows if there ever was like a crossover between UK takeovers and US takeovers.
Yes, certainly.
So, and I guess that Marcel Bartel being sort of assigned to the UK brand makes sense in that way, yes, as well, because you can team those two up together and be like, you know, your evil foreign heels, which is most likely what they'll end up doing with them.
No. On a week where it's Dijakovic.
Yeah, we'll get into that, I suppose.
We'll come to that. Just to make sure he's very foreign sounding.
I think my prediction for EC3 and what is next for him, aside from all the bubbles stuff with UE, I imagine he's going to be a surprise Rumble entrance.
And you do.
I think, and most likely, in the number three position.
Oh, yeah.
That would be my guess. And then that would essentially be his, not like an Adam Cole like Royal Rumble appearance we got last year. This would be like an actual Royal Rumble. Here is his debut. He's now going to be part of the main roster.
Yes.
And then perhaps they can play the story of because he's in the top 1%, you can have Raw and SmackDown. Like, he's, you know, deciding which brand he wants to go to between Raw and SmackDown. Mm-hmm. And then that can build to a WrestleMania match, or most like the Battle Royal that goes on the pre-show, because that's a stacked old Mania card already. So I think that's probably where I'm thinking EC3 is. That's it, really, if Johnson's report from PW Insider is correct, and that EC3 is not long for the NXT brands.
I can see him not being. I just feel like he's got the look of a main roster guy. He's definitely someone that Vince probably has seen and gone, Yeah, I want him.
I'll have one of them, please.
I'll have one of them and one of these Lars guys.
What
thank
is
you.
The big one with the pants? The one with the red trunks.
That big one. With and the I want this other one. This sort of weird brown one.
Well, God, while Triple H just hiding away, everyone else going like, no, don't look over here.
Yeah.
What's over in that there locker room? Nothing, absolutely nothing over there. Just pushing Keith Lee and Donovan Dijak. Get in there, hide.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Psych, before we get into the NXT review, we've got some $25 and above Pledgehammer shoutouts to do. If you want to become one of these awesome Pledgehammers, all you have to do is become one of our Pledgehammers over on Patreon and donate at a $25 amount to get your name read out, or you get loads of other perks. $5 will get you the Wrestle Ramble Extra. $10 will get you Ramble Club. All these other really good bits and pieces. So, let's see who is on the end of our list. Up first, Bull Lift Club leader, Johnny Motta. Oh, yes, Johnny.
Well
nice
done,
star.
Johnny. JVF, Jack Van Fleet.
Oh, Jack Van Fleet.
Jack Van Fleet.
He's always got good suggestions.
Jack.
Colin McLeaner than Finn Balor. Oh, he's lean.
Colin.
He is lean Finn, but no, Colin.
Incredibly overworked nickname.
Colin is much better.
John, Secret Santos.
It's a bit like Secret Santa.
It is.
Yeah, it's a bit like it. Big Apple Takedown, Lindsay Munro. The Big Apple Takedown, there it is. Reading that on Ramble Club.
Butter me up, Soren Noor.
Oh, butter me up, mate. Butter me up. Harry and the Hendersons Burgers. Yeah, it's an old film. You might not remember it.
Robin Banks, Lee Roberts.
It's sort of like your surname.
It's kind of. Oh, we're not good at puns.
Sayonara, Cyan Grant.
I think that's Kane Grant, but yeah, sure.
Oh, it might. Yeah. Yeah,
it's probably Kane.
If it is, then I'm going to have to change that because Sayonara doesn't work. I'm very bad at names. Mm. Someone has been emailing in and their name is not spelt the way that it's said.
Right.
It's spelt C-E-M, but it's pronounced G-E-M.
Oh.
Like Chem. And so I've been calling him Sem on the podcast. And then thankfully he emailed in and be like, you're an idiot. You keep saying my name wrong. This is not the first time I've told you this either. And I'm like, I mean, thank you for pointing that out. And I apologize for saying your name wrong. But do remember, I'm very bad at my job.
So if
you're going to email in and you've got a name that just looks like this idiot here can't read it out properly, just spell it out phonetically.
Do phonetics because Luke is stupid.
I'm a massive moron. Like, it's just easier this way. But anyway, sorry. Where did we get to?
Ryan B. Bad!
Oh, he's bad. He's bad, baby. Mmm, this is a tasty Tim Heidenberg. It's a Pulp Fiction reference.
Probably better than Kyle Philip O'Reilly.
Oh, that's strong, because Kyle O'Reilly's very good.
Yeah, but air guitar.
You probably are better than him. Michael Mislane McKees. Like when you lose your keys around the house.
There is no S in his name either. Owen Morgan.
That's right. You and me both, brother. We've got no S's
Owens
in our names.
Owens Morgan.
No S's in our names whatsoever.
Luke Owens. Owens Morgan.
So thank you very much for all of our pledge hammers. If you are one of our new $25 and above backers, we will see you next month. So yeah, this was a pretty standard episode of NXT. Solid matches, nothing really groundbreaking or anything like that. But I did enjoy the first match between the Yard Bastards, Danny Burch and Oney Lorcan, versus the Mighty. Now, it's interesting, again, bit of a plug here for that Patreon podcast that we did with NXT TakeOver NXT TakeOver Toronto in 2016. That's was a show. If you look at the lineup of that show, there are four people on that card that are still in NXT. And those are Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa. Mm-hmm. They wrestled as DIY against the Revival in a terrific match. And the other two are the Mighty, when they were TM61.
Yes.
And you look at that card and you're like, okay, well, everyone else has gone up to the main roster to do mostly nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But these four lads are still in NXT. But Johnny Gargano is one of the main event players. And Tommaso Ciampa is the NXT champion.
He is the main event.
Whereas the Mighty at TakeOver Toronto, we're in the finals of the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic against the Authors of Pain.
Mm.
And they've just... their name used to be The Mighty Don't Kneel. But now it's like The Mighty Have Fallen. Like, they've just gone down. Losing against the Street Profits. Granted, this is a house show. It doesn't really count, I suppose. But losing again here, babyface pop, I guess. But at the same time, it's like The Mighty really have not done anything in NXT.
So they injured... They were injured before 2016, and then I think they were injured. One of them was injured after,
yes,
wasn't they?
So
they've been like the pair of them have been absolutely plagued by injury.
Yes,
but yeah, even this heel turn seemed like it was going to do something for them. They got a few wins on the trot from
heavy machinery,
having your feet on the ropes, whatever the shenanigans were, and then it's just gone straight back to normal of just being like just. Be around, guys.
You're just there on the roster.
Be around. Like,
and they are.
They don't even do as many flips anymore.
Well, it's because they're heels now.
Yeah,
aren't
I know.
They?
Heels don't flip.
And I like them as heels. I really do like them as heels. Mm. I think they've got really good sort of like personality as heels, and they look like heels as well. And I think they've got a good look about
Matrix
them.
The Matrix coach.
Exactly.
Oh, I'm Neo.
They'd be babyface in 1999.
Now
they're definitely heels because it's so played out. But it's.
How droll.
Oh, the Matrix.
I bet you've got
God.
Little glasses that stick on your nose.
Oh, do you want to talk about pills or what are red pills?
Oh, follow the white rabbit. Oh, very, very interesting.
But we're all plugged in. No, but this is... I just don't find that they connect with the crowd.
No.
The Mighty. Whether the baby faces or whether they were heels. Like, looking back at 2016 when they were TM61, I don't really think people were connecting to them then either. And now they're heels. People still aren't connecting to them. And it's getting to the point where I feel like the Mighty are, and we actually talked about this on the Patreon podcast, I have a bit of Apollo Crews vibe about the Mighty, in the sense that they came in with lots of like hype about them. Pyro and Ballyhoo up the wazoo did the Mighty Don't Kneel come into NXT. And maybe it's because of the injuries, maybe it's because of the presentation, but I really don't feel that they have lived up to that hype of when they came in.
Yeah, I mean, even like the beatdown at the end of this match just didn't get anything from the crowd. The crowd just sort of went, "Oh, that's happening." Like,
yeah.
Even though it was Lorcan and Burch, like, who are pretty damn popular nowadays, like, yeah, they were just everyone just sort of watched that happen and was just like, "Okay, that's happening then."
Yeah, and I think like with the Mighty, they are like, there's quite a lot of tag teams in NXT, which is very much a good thing. But I don't think I would place them above the likes of Street Profits, Heavy Machinery, Burch and Lorcan, or you know several others in line for tag team title shots.
No.
I think they feel very far down the pecking order.
They are a safe pair of hands to feed people up,
yeah,
aren't they? Really.
Absolutely.
And also, like, you've got to have someone, when the Undisputed Era kind of, as the tag team champions, are feuding with other champions, you've kind of got to have someone holding down the fort down the other end being the heels still. So I guess that's kind of what their role is here.
Yes.
But it's weird to just, yeah, keep putting them in these matches where they're just obviously going to lose. Try and get a bit of cheap heat at the end of it, blah, 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 blah. And obviously, it's mostly a filmed house show, so it's not really a big deal. But like, it feels like they're trying to make them something.
Mm.
They're not quite managing it. Why don't you just use the Forgotten Sons or someone else?
God, like, I forgot about the Forgotten Sons, ironically.
You know what I mean? Like, there's so many other people in this division to just do this stuff with. And obviously, like, most of the big, strong teams at the moment are faces.
Yes.
And that is a bit of an issue.
Yeah, yeah.
Because then, you know, people who do fall on the wearing the black duster kind of side of things end up beat up.
Beat up, mate.
As beat up as their dusters.
But Lorcan and Birch won this. Fun little opener, I suppose. I really enjoy Oney Lorcan. I think he's really, really cool. He got a wicked little... it was Birch that got the hot tag, but Lorcan running wild was absolutely wonderful.
Mm.
And he did this dive at one point in the match that I thought defied gravity.
He's like... I don't know, it's like a tope roly-poly. I don't know how to, like, I don't know what you would call it.
But like the way that he sort of moves, it looks like you're not going to get any distance on that whatsoever. Yeah. And then before you know it, it's like a glitch. He just ends up halfway up the ramp.
He's so lanky, I think that's why. He just went... Ugh. But because he like went into them upside down as well. So he collided upside down and then fortunately sort of managed to fall to the floor slowly enough that it didn't look like he was just going to smash his head. But he still just sort of went bonk on his head for a bit.
Weird, weird man. But fun little match. Crowd did chant, "You still suck at the Mighty" when they did the beat down. So they got some heat off the back of
it. Yeah, I enjoyed the roll up bit at the end as well with the pushing them out of the
Thunder Valley.
Yes, and then getting that little roll up. That was nice.
Yeah, it was some good stuff. We got a recap of Adam Cole being laid out, EC3 beating Adam Cole and then him being laid out by Undisputed Era, which led into that EC3 versus Marcel Bartel match. God, I'm a big fan of Marcel Bartel. I think he's got really, really good personality.
Mm.
I think he looks cool. And maybe it's just because it's the ring cam presentation with the arms behind your back you know, just going nine and things like that. But I'm a big, big fan of Marcel. And I'm hoping that they can do some really good things with him, be it on NXT or on NXT UK.
Yeah, I would like to see some of these other characters getting a bit more time, like the Barstiles and Dijak and stuff like that. Like they've been used, but just to put people over.
Yes.
And they always end up looking better. I feel like he looked better than EC3 here. And I was just like, and then EC3 is the one getting put over and they're having a bit more, you know, because he's, I don't know.
Oh, that's EC3. Actually a very good point.
Because he's American, I imagine, like, you know, mostly.
That's a very good point, actually, because when I'm looking at these two, I'm looking at Marcel being like, well, okay, well, you're ready for the main roster. Like, you're already ready for, like, the big time in WWE. Whereas EC3, I'm like, nah, you're not really doing anything for me at the moment.
All of my notes are about moves that Marcel did.
Right. And that's all the
rest of it's like, and EC3 won.
Yeah.
And then EC3 won. And I feel like this is probably the story, apart from the first match, the story of quite a lot of this show was me making notes about one of the people and then they lose.
Nice. We also got a recap of Kairi Sane versus Shayna Baszler from 2 weeks ago, and then there was a backstage interview that was recorded. I think they said it was earlier in the day with Sane, Io Shirai, and Dakota Kai. And I saw there was a comment that was left on the Wrestling Observer message boards that said that Kairi Sane and Io Shirai with their broken English is still a better promo than Dakota Kai, which I thought was unfair.
I thought that was harsh.
But I did liked Kai in this. I thought Io was really cool as well. But they were essentially saying that, hey, we're not done with those three yet, and we want to fight all three of them, and we're going to stand together. Like Io was saying that, you know, Kairi Sane's my bestest friend.
Yeah, it's a shame that the best friend thing is now pervaded down it's like trickle down economics. Trickle down.
Yeah, poop does roll downhill.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
So awful. Unfortunately, so they want
best friends.
We're just best. Ooh, friends.
We're both Japanese.
I guess so. They probably are like best mates in real life.
Yeah,
like,
I think they are.
They are.
I think they genuinely are. But yeah, it's a bit like, oh god.
Yeah,
this again.
I've had enough of that, to be fair. And then we got that video package for not Donovan Dijak, not Dijak, Dijakovic. Cool video package, dreadful name. Donovan Dijak is such an easy to say name.
It's a good name.
And it's a great name.
It's a good
Sounds cool.
It's a cool wrestling name. Dijakovic is just like laboring the point of like, did you know he has a foreign surname? And therefore will be a foreign heel.
But he's American!
I know he is, but they're just going to be like, did you know? He's got ancestry.
And like Dijakovic, maybe it's just me, but when I hear that, that says tennis player. Like, he sounds like he should be like competing in the US Open rather than competing in
versus Andre Agassi.
Excellent tennis reference. Can we name any other tennis players?
McEnroe. John McEnroe.
Yep. I mean,
ex-tennis player.
Any new ones?
Roger Federer.
He's a new one.
Rafa Nadal.
There you go. Well, we've managed to prove my points. We can say them, I guess. So, yeah, the video package was cool. I just think that the name's rubbish. And it's a shame because I don't want to be sitting here talking about Donovan Dijak's like proper reintroduction to NXT and being like, God, that name's rubbish. No. It just feels like when we're talking about, like, so awesome that Keith Lee's here in NXT. It's so awesome that he's getting some TV time. He's had 2 weeks of TV time now. It's so awesome. But God, his entrance music's awful.
It is.
It is rubbish.
Bad.
It's real bad.
It is. It's like anti-hype. It's like the opposite of... You hear it and you're like... You hear it and you see the name Keith Lee appear on screen and everyone goes, oh, Keith Lee! And then you hear the music and you're like, oh, I'm not interested anymore.
But it's the thing, it's like, it's so bland entrance music. It's so uninteresting entrance music that the crowd don't react when they hear it, but they react when they see Limitless on the screen. They'll be like, oh, it's Keith Lee! Oh, cool, I'm happy to see him then. But no one ever remembers that entrance music because it's so generic.
It has not one singular sting or peak or trough to it. It is all plateau. It just goes along.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, okay.
It is very boring, but we'll get to that in a second.
Even Shayna Baszler's, which is admittedly amazing music, even that has an extra sting that is completely unnecessary on the beginning. That weird, like, someone's taking your car apart
with the horses.
Yeah, what? No, is that horses? Is that what it's meant to be? Oh, I didn't know that was meant to be horses.
I think
it sounds like someone taking the wheel off a car, like, and then like pumping it up. And then...
yeah, no, I thought it was supposed to be horses. Anyway, earlier this week we
doing the Monty Python.
Earlier this week, we got a clip of Candice LeRae arriving at the Performance Center, ignoring questions from the press, because...
What a bee.
She's the not the head bee in charge, but she may as well be one.
The biggest bee around.
Yeah, absolutely. She's ignoring the press. And speaking of the head bee in charge, the head baddie, it's Mia Yim versus Vanessa Bourne, whose new gimmick, I guess, is that she is perfection. Whose entrance music was that? I am perfection. Oh, it was Dolph Ziggler, wasn't it? It was his old entrance theme song. Yeah, she's not Dolph Ziggler, I guess. But it is Mia Yim versus Vanessa Bourne. Match.
Yeah, there was cool bits in this that I enjoyed. I enjoyed the little suplex with the half turn that Bourne did. Again, I've written it all. It's all Bourne moves that she's done. And I was like, she did a weird Bronco Buster thing to the back of Mia Yim's head. And then... like wrapped her up and started hitting her, and I was like, that's cool, that's a cool idea. Mia Yim pulled out a tarantula, don't see many of those these days.
Well, yeah, and I bloody love a tarantula. One of the things that really drew me to Yoshihiro Tajiri when I first saw him was that tarantula move. I was like, that's wicked, so cool. Like, I remember seeing that, like, when...
it's because the rule, there's such a stickler now for that 5 second rule that it doesn't have any impact because no one ever taps in 5 seconds, so it's just like,
it looks really really cool. And I think it's a wicked move. It might have been one of the worst tarantulas I've ever seen, though.
Yes.
And I'm not sure if it's because of Mia Yim's height or her size or whether Vanessa Bourne was too tall, but it looked like she could barely grab her feet, like when she's doing the move. And when you can barely lock on the hold, that's when it looks a little bit
I think, also because...
When Tajiri used to do it, he used to, like, wrap them up in there. Yeah, like, it felt like they were proper bent around
down,
the ropes.
Yeah. But then also, I think, Bourne then just sort of flopped out of that and then... walked off, basically. It's like, okay, bye then. And it's like, you need to, like, be crippled. You need to fall down and be like, I can't use any of my limbs. Like.
But then, I mean, and this is a point that you really wanted to bring up, because Mia Yim won with Eat Defeat. And that's what Nigel called it, Eat Defeat.
In your face, YouTube. In your face. I'm the biggest pedant here.
Because people were on your case.
They were.
And that,
like,
Eat Defeat.
I knew I'd got it from somewhere. Like, I'm well aware that it is also a move that Gail Kim does. But I had seen Mia Yim using it in the Mae Young Classic, and they called it Eat Defeat. And I was like, I don't just make willy-nilly notes about things and just go, like, I just pull it up. But I knew it was called Eat Defeat.
Yeah.
In this reference.
In this realm, it is called Eat Defeat, which I'd imagine is probably a tribute to Gail Kim.
I imagine, because it's been called that move before, they'll just go with that rather than having to go, and she calls it Soul Food, etc.
Eat Defeat is a dreadful name for a finishing move, but I think it's better than Soul Food.
It's better than Jordunzo.
Oh, God. God, I forgot about that. Yeah, that was his finisher, wasn't
that
it?
That was Eat Defeat, yeah.
Good crikey, I genuinely forgot about that. It is better than, like, I think that Eat Defeat is, it's, again, it's a pretty dreadful, because it's Eat Defeat.
Mm.
You know, but it's also defeat, as in you have lost.
Ha ha ha!
So it's not very good punny, but it is better than Soul Food, which would just make me think of Khaleesi's last album, which, while had a good couple of tracks on it, overall, I didn't rate all that much.
You can find Luke's review of Khaleesi's album on his personal website.
Which is, essentially, I'd have just written that. If yeah. I did do music reviews, I'd be like, I really like a couple of these tracks. Pork, I think it's called, that's not called Pork and Beans, that's a Weezer song. But she's got a really, really awesome track on there that I like. Because it's all named after food, because it's when she released her cookbook. Her cookbook, by the way, very good. I highly recommend her cookbook.
Her milkshake. Brings Luke to
well,
the yard.
That's the thing.
There's no milkshake.
There's no milkshake recipe in there. Come
Are
on,
you kidding
Kelly.
Me?
That was an open goal.
You
if
said
I've ever
it
seen...
brought all the boys to the yard. Just because she didn't want people hanging around everyone else's house. That's yeah. why she was like, if anyone else makes my milkshake, we're gonna have it'd be like the birds, but with boys. Just like knocking on the window, being like milkshake, milkshake, milkshake.
We got a clip of War Raiders being tended to by doctors after the War Games match. Did I see War Raiders? Did I say War Games being tended to? I meant to say War
You said
Raiders.
War Raiders.
Okay, that's fine, yeah.
After the War Games.
Well, after the War Games, yeah. And then Tommaso Ciampa got a promo, some new material to kind of like put over the fact that he's going to be on TV next week, the first time that he's been on TV since defeating the Velveteen Dream at TakeOver a couple of weeks ago. And he's there. He said he'll be back next week. And I'm asking everyone to follow my lead.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, Tommaso Ciampa. A good promo from Ciampa, as always, because he is awesome.
Cult leader Ciampa.
Yeah. It's very cool. And then finally in the main event, this was set up from last week, it's our boy, Keith Lee, the Limitless One, taking on Raw/SmackDown call-up Lars Sullivan. We don't know where he's going yet.
He's going everywhere!
In a match that really did scream to me. God, that Lars Sullivan decision was a last minute. Like, it was a last minute decision to call him up to the main roster.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it had to be because Lars wins here.
Yeah.
Doesn't put anyone over on his way out.
No. What a scumbag.
What a scumbag. God.
My other note. My
never
only
broken
other,
into this business.
My only other note here is that I've just written in reference to Keith Lee's music this morning when I watched it. Keith Lee's music. Is very polite.
Which, in fairness, does reflect him as a person because he is one of the politest people I've ever met. He's a wonderful human being and just genuinely lovely. So maybe that's why his music fits him.
Yeah. Keith, just ask them to jazz it up, man. Like, let's get something going.
But he's too polite to ask.
I know, that's probably it.
Doesn't want to knock on CFO Money's office. Yeah. Like, sorry, guys. Can I just ask you to
do you mind just
jazzing this up a little bit? Can we do what essentially we did with Samoa Joe's where he had that rubbish entrance music and then he went in. And Joe, obviously, being the Samoa Joe, when he was like, this is crap, do it better. Keith, he's like, sorry, guys. Sorry to bother you. But, I mean, could we do something? Maybe not. It's fine. I'm happy with it.
Do you know what? I have found my limit. It's this conversation.
But this was like, it was a good meaty man match. Some shoving, some pounces, kick outs at one, moves. It was, I thought Keith was cool. I thought, and actually, Lars, credit to him, I think Lars is actually, when he's in the ring with the right opponent, and actually, in fairness to Lars, I don't think he's really had bad matches.
No.
Because he's usually in there with very, very good people. And I'm not suggesting that people are carrying Lars to matches, because I think Lars knows what he's doing.
Yes.
I think he knows how to wrestle with his physique and his size. And he's very good at doing that. And he's a very, very good presence.
Yeah.
But again, Lars, I think we've said this before, Lars is one of those guys, if you're looking at the list of NXT people, he's not the person I'm looking to call up next.
No.
I'm looking at like probably 10 to 15, maybe 20 other people before I get to Lars Sullivan.
Yeah, exactly.
But
he just fits a profile that they know how to work with on the main roster
for no reason.
Yeah. To the detriment of everyone else. The problem with Lars though, I think, and the reason it seems like he doesn't know what he's doing to everyone is because when he is in there with other people, it's such random chances because it just goes, it's like nobody, Ricochet. You know, like, or yeah. Aleister Black, or it's like nobody, he's in this ladder match. Nobody, Keith Lee. So it's just, you're just watching him squash people and not do anything.
Yeah.
Just hitting like four moves. And then he gets in there with someone else and you're like, oh, he can kind of like work with them and stuff happens. And you're like, oh, he actually does know how to wrestle. It's like, why don't you just wrestle more of the matches?
And I was surprised. I going into this, I didn't know the results from the house show that they taped a couple of weeks ago. But I, going into this, based on the like the you know the stuff they were promoting last week, I thought this was going to be the majority of the show. Like, I was ready for this to be like last week.
Two sections.
Yeah, like two sections. You had two like squash matches or what have you at the start, and then this takes up half hour of the broadcast. But it didn't really. It took about like maybe 15 minutes,
yep.
Maybe less than that.
I think it was about 10 minutes.
Yeah, 10 minutes. And I think I'd have preferred this to have gone longer. I think I definitely could have enjoyed it going much longer, particularly if you could have had some more back and forth. Because while they did do the back and forth at first, it did just become Lars Sullivan neck cranks for a while, or Lars Sullivan putting in submission holds unconvincingly and just sort of holding Keith Lee there and Keith selling it really well. And then it was just, yeah, it was just like, yeah, I mean, I've got Lars grinds down Keith, like it's the majority of my notes. And then Keith does some of his athletic comeback stuff, doing his slingshot crossbodies, and he does this
corkscrew tope.
It's a corkscrew tope over the top, which looked amazing. They got a massive pop from the crowd, doing the pounce and things like that.
Second rope moonsault.
Yeah, and that's where, and he misses that moonsault. And you like when he missed the moonsault, I was like, okay, cool, now we're going to kick into the third gear of this match. And we're really going to, like, the third act of this match. Crank it up into fifth gear. Let's really go for this now. And then Lars hit the freak accident and won. And I was like, oh, well, okay.
Cool.
I was just about ready for this to get started. Yeah. And then it ended. So it's a shame. And as I say, like, clearly they had no plans to call Lars up.
What were their plans for him within NXT? This is the other
championship stuff. That's what we kept setting up before.
Why is he taking on Keith Lee? Who doesn't, like... Poor Keith Lee.
Poor Keith, I know, right? And they were putting over as well. Like, oh, Keith Lee's undefeated in NXT. Granted, he's had three matches, like, but he is undefeated.
Yeah, in the whole time he's been there, he's, yeah.
Yeah, but this was his first loss in the NXT. This is Keith Lee's first loss. And if you're going to put over that he's undefeated, this didn't really feel like, oh, Keith Lee's lost his first match. It was just, oh, Lars won again, I guess. So, yeah, but it was a fine match.
You know why he lost? He won, sorry, because there's no belt in the match. Lars only loses matches in which there is a belt.
I see. It was funny, like Ollie...
or another person to Ollie, take the pinfall, ideally.
Ollie Davis came into the studio today, and he was like, you know, he was excited because he's Ollie Davis, and that's the way that his personality always comes across. But when we came in to record, he was like, oh, how was the last Sullivan-Keith Lee match? And you can almost see that little twinkle in his eye. I've just been like... I might watch a bit of NXT.
It might be good.
I might watch some NXT for a change. And then we went, it's all right.
Yeah, it happened.
It was fine. Yeah. And I think that I was really looking forward to this being, like, as I say, a half-hour match, feeling like a takeover, pay-per-view-style match. But it was, in the end, just a 10-minute TV match with lots of head cranks. And I thought it was fine.
Yeah, see, and that's the thing, is all that whole spot works perfectly in a much longer match.
Yes.
Because then you kick into the gear where people are just throwing moves at each other.
Yeah.
And they're getting all the close falls and
big
stuff.
Move
but this,
kick
this
out.
Just went like, we're kicking out a one. I'm now holding your head for a while.
Yep.
You do some moves.
I win.
End of match.
There you go.
End of script.
Really, we could be producers at WWE.
Crazy.
So that was this week's NXT. Perfectly fine, serviceable show. Looking forward to getting back on track next week. I'm really, really looking forward to just things happening and things moving forward.
Well, from what I've seen, we are in for some very interesting episodes to come.
Yes. Good.
I can't wait to see them in motion rather than in picture form off some guy's Twitter.
Yep. Well, I mean, it is 2018. This is sometimes just how we ingest these things. Someone sent me, apparently Becky Lynch did an Instagram story where she was taking the piss out of Charlotte Flair, essentially, doing the Frank Grimes thing from The Simpsons, but like for Becky Lynch being like, oh, I'm stealing Becky Lynch's. Do I get it? I'm stealing Becky Lynch's character. Do I get a title shot now? Frank Grimes freaking out against Homer. But it's in pictures. But someone had recorded those pictures and then sent me the video of the pictures. And I was like, I mean, I guess it's 2018. Is this just how we enjoy things now? Is this I just watch videos from a different social media channel of pictures.
There you are.
Thanks for sending it across.
Very meta is the way that the world exists.
Granted, I wouldn't have seen it because I don't know what an Instagram is, but I'm glad you sent it across because anything that's Simpsons related, I'm into it. So before we get into any silliness or anything like that, I did want to read out this email that was sent in to us by Matt Edmonds. Greetings, Luke, Ollie, Laurie, and the Wrestle Tykes. My email comes with an extremely urgent request. First, I'd like to say thank you for everything you guys do. The SWAF Nation appreciates and love you guys greatly. Ollie was corrected by the urinal, by the way. No, he wasn't. Anyway, on to the rest of my email. One of my best friends over 10 years has... I'll try that again. One of my best friends of over 10 years recently had his left lung collapse. Him and I grew up watching WWE together, and he's a fellow pod swafter. We grew close going to live events and pay-per-views. He's currently a university student without health insurance. We live in the US, and as you likely know, medical bills are outrageously expensive if you don't have insurance. As I type this email, he is having emergency surgery to fix this injury that has become potentially life-threatening. Shout out to my friend Anton. Would mean a lot to both of us, and I'm sure he'll be thrilled to hear his name read out. Now, once what makes the world go round? Money! I started a GoFundMe for Anton, and his medical bills for the surgery and extended stay in the hospital will likely come to more than $40,000, which for a family with no insurance and a college student is far out of a budget to say the least. I want to help my friend avoid literal decades of medical payments. I'm not requesting money of you, the WrestleTalk crew, but a shout out would be monumental. I've linked the GoFundMe below. Our friends and family have made gracious donations, but unfortunately it's a mere fraction of what is needed. Regardless of when this is read out, even if it's months down the line, a shout out would be huge. Thank you all. So if you were to gofundme.com/Anton's Lungs, that's Anton, as in A-N-T-O-N-S, Lungs, L-U-N-G-S. So best of luck to you, Anton, and to you as well, Matt. Hope everything goes okay.
Yeah, get well soon, Anton.
Absolutely.
Good friend, Matt, for writing in.
Absolutely. That's the kind of friend that you want, really. But before we get out of here, now I thought I would leave D&D chat until the outro, because I'd imagine if you are someone who is new to this podcast and you're like, I really want to hear what this Wrestle Ramble has to say about NXT.
And all we talk about is our D&D every single week.
The first 10 minutes of it is just me going like, well, then I rolled at 18. That's like, I think they might want to tune out. So I thought we'll move
D&D. I summoned a magical being.
Which I did do.
You did do.
So we finished your miniature campaign.
We did. That turned into be quite actually like almost a full-length campaign, really, by the amount of time it took us.
How long were we doing it in the end?
I think we've been playing it for... we've not been playing it as religiously as we've done all the other campaigns, so I guess we've been playing it for maybe 3 months.
Yeah.
But we did have like a four-week break. No, we've been playing it for maybe... four months.
I think it might be longer than that.
But we did have like a big break where Gary couldn't do it and stuff like that.
Yes, exactly. And then there was weeks where we couldn't like all get together, so we had to take a week off and things like that. But we have now finished. What was the name of your mini campaign?
It didn't have a name. In my notes, it was just called The Witch's Oven. But that wasn't real. I didn't like that name. I just left it on there because I didn't really bother to call it anything.
Yeah.
I think I might take the name of the book. Under the Covens,
yep.
A tell-all autobiography of Baba Yaga.
God, bloody Baba Yaga. So, we finally reached Babs Yags, and we were finally able to face her down. And if you're new to this podcast and you don't know quite the story that we were looking for, here is essentially what happened. We had been transported to this sort of mystical realm, and we were told by this old geezer that was like mourning the loss of his son that we needed to get the Heartstone in order to get out of the Feywild.
Mm-hmm.
And my character did not like being in the Feywild. He just very much wanted to go home. He was a bit freaked out by being in this mystical realm. He wanted to get back. So eventually, we found Babs Yags, who had a Heartstone, and we were like, brilliant, here's our opportunity. And we had to do things like, we had to keep making like blood sacrifices to like sort of bind her down and things like that.
So essentially, Baba Yaga, in D&D and in regular folklore, so she's a Slavic figure in folklore. She's basically a powerful witch that lives in the woods in a hut that has chicken legs.
Oh, is that why it ran away?
Yeah, it just popped up and ran away. Because I just thought that was just a fun...
It is very funny.
Fun in the moment.
Yeah.
But in D&D lore, she's kind of like the mother of all hags. So she's kind of both a witch and a god. And I kind of written her as a trifecta. So there were the maiden mother and the crone. The mother and the crone were kind of on your side and had tasked you with going in there to take down the maiden who had crafted this Heartstone on her own accord.
And was stealing children
to make it, and there was all this other stuff that's going on that we'll get into another time, I imagine, when George's campaign rolls around. So you then confronted the maiden version of Baba Yaga, but because she's basically a god, you had to slow her down because her challenge, like the party, are level 5.
We were level 5.
They were level 5. They've just gone to level 6, and Baba Yaga, if you know anything about D&D, the challenge rating of her is 20, which is
big.
Dead.
Yeah,
if
that is
you
dead.
Fight that. Yeah,
yeah. And I did.
Yes. Yeah, so I'd written it. I'd written the idea that basically you would have to, one of you would have to be continuously doing a ritual to slow her down. Slowing her down in my, because of looking at her stats, basically you could take away, I was like, take away her legendary actions.
Mm-hmm.
Because then actually she's quite limited. She's got a couple of spells and she's got a melee attack. Legendary actions with Baba Yaga are the things that mess you up. Like she, you know, she did a death glare at you.
Essentially,
and then immediately knocked you unconscious.
Yeah, I spent quite a bit of the fight on the floor, yeah. Unconscious, ready to die.
Yeah, so... So you confronted her, managed to wrest the Heartstone off her after some quite good play of like cursing her strength, so that when you did a strength challenge to try and take it, she failed, you won, and then
so I had managed to get one of our Dragonborn gave me like 5 bit of health back, so I was able to be revived, and I was like, I need to get out of this room because if she gets a hold of me again, I am dead. So I ran out of the room. On my way past, grabbing the Heartstone from one of our other players, or one of our teammates, and be like, cool, I've got this. And then we were...
Was it Torrin that had it?
It was Torrin that had it, yeah. And then this old codger was played by our regular DM, George, who's been sort of like, not so much an NPC, but he was...
A character I'd written.
Yes.
Yeah.
So to be him.
Was, yeah.
And he was the only person who knew how to use the Heartstone. So... He almost did like the Jafar, give me the lamp from Aladdin. And so I did. I gave him the Heartstone because he was going to help us get home. And then he did his cantation and he disappeared. He bloody legged it, presumably to go to the realm to find his dead son.
Mm-hmm.
Absolute dick then left us on our own. He's level. And I suddenly thought, I had a moment's pause where I was like, we're going to die. Like, we are going to die because I don't think we can get out of this situation because none of us are good enough in order to beat Babs Yags, which we found out later down, like, after the game and everything. Any damage that we were doing, particularly my character, was doing minimal damage at best.
She's resistant to every single type of damage bar magical attacks.
And I don't... I've only got one magical attack that I can do, and even then I'll only be able to do it twice per... Entire, unless I got a long rest and replenish, which is not going to happen during a fight. So basically during a fight I could do 2 bits of magic throughout the whole thing. And Torrin, one of our other major spellcasters, he said that he was running very low on magic and health.
He had been rinsed
and he's our tank.
Yeah, he stood in front of her stupidly and she just kept wailing on him, just like,
God, just get out of my way. And our other spellcaster was also very much running out of magic. So we were like, we were at death's door. And
also you have it like, so the ritual, the idea was they had to spill their own blood and say an incantation. They dropped it a few times because someone forgot to pick it up because it cost 15 HP to do.
Yeah. Well, you say we forgot to pick it up. I didn't realize it was a concentration thing.
Yeah.
So I did it first and then did an attack which stopped it. And that's when
there was a turn in the middle as well where someone
what happened was is that I did it not realizing it was a concentration spell.
Yes.
And that's what then essentially got me dead and I got taken out. And Torrin's move was next and he said, granted you can't set out to the rest of the group because that's metagaming, but he essentially thought, well, I don't need to do the spell now because it's not, everyone else has got a turn before it's her turn again. And I think he thought, well, someone else will do it.
Yes.
And no one else did.
She.
And so we just got to her turn again. And me and Gary just looked at each other being like, can't believe no one did it.
Yeah, she'd literally batted away a few spells because she can do her actions on the end. She'd got counter spells. She was just batting away spells, doing what she liked.
We just looked at each other like, I'm stunned. Yeah. No one else thought to do it. And then because Torrin didn't do it again, I was like, we're getting another turn without anyone slowing her down. Slow her down! She's going to kill us.
Yeah.
But eventually, I realized that I had a conch, like Lord of the Flies, that was able to allow me to speak to another god called the Keeper of the Currents. Water, not raisins. and I put a call into him, and I have essentially
had... That would have been the Sun Maid if I'd have done, if I'd have done one that kept raisins.
Nice. I've had to make a deal with a god, and I am now forever indebted to that god, which, by the way, I need to speak to George. I don't know how that will affect my relationship with my actual god.
Yes.
Yeah, I need to speak to George about that. Because I'm now indebted to another god. And again, I don't know if it's the party that are indebted or it is me specifically because I was the one that made the deal. Mm. I think it's mostly fair if it's only me because I made the deal without consulting anyone.
Surely, yeah. But I also feel like he's probably got the right to go, well, you're all in the room and I saved all of you.
Yep, which is also
true. As he burst out of the pot.
Yes.
Bubbling away in the kitchen because he was a river deity and he'd transported himself through the water.
It was badass.
Jumps out. Throws a lightning spear.
Oh man, it was badass.
Yeah, it was cool.
We were lucky we had that contrary because yeah. I don't think we would have made it. Granted,
there were a couple of things in that whole. Like, I don't want to go too far into like what you could have done, what you like. There were bits. Yeah. There were more bits in the hut that you didn't see that could have helped you here.
Mm.
But also there were things like Torin had a basilisk's eye that he'd taken earlier
yeah.
in the game. I feel like that could have slowed. Like there were a few things that I'd given you yeah. along the way that I was like, well, you could use that in the correct application of this or the correct application of that.
Yeah, yeah.
Might have done something.
Yeah.
And yeah, like I think you were probably the first person who just looked at his list of items and went, that's the one.
That's the one. Let's use this. And it was a pretty cool thing because I think that having the keeper of the cannons, having Aquaman on our team, basically did help us win that fight. Because I had two concerns: A, we're going to die, or B, we're going to run out of time because Dan's got to kick us out of his house in a bit.
Yes.
And I don't really want to stop this fight midway through. I want to be able to finish this fight before we all leave. Oh, God, I'm very late. I don't know what time you got back on.
Quite late.
Yeah, quite late.
Half 12, I think.
I felt very sleepy yesterday. Mm. I've proper fell asleep on the tube on the way home. Like a proper, I just completely went out.
But that's the sleep of someone who's defeated a god, Luke.
Oh, it
that's
was.
The peaceful, dreamless sleep of someone who was bested.
It was badass, man.
The mother of all hags.
It was a really cool campaign. I really enjoyed being in the Feywild. So I enjoyed the characters that we interacted with. And I think that you actually plotted a very good story that had nice and peaks and troughs in there. So I thought it was really, really cool.
Oh, thanks, mate.
And I'm excited to see where we're going next. Now that we're back into the... Now we're back... And you get your character back.
I blooming know where we're going as well.
Oh, of course you do, yeah, because you've had to hand the campaign back.
Yeah, I know a fair bit of... I know, like, the lead-in of all the plot and stuff as well. So I'm excited because there's some big reveals very early.
Yeah.
That I think you'll be like, what the hell?
What the... So I'm really, really looking forward to get back into that. I suppose the only downside I can ever really think of that campaign is that I was 150 points short of leveling up.
Like, yeah, I think we'll just say we all leveled up.
Well, I did when I put it into the calculator and it came up, I was like, you're 150 short. I was like, mother!
Yeah.
Ah, so just, close!
You get it in the first fight, it'll be fine.
I was going to say, I'd have got it back quite quickly. Anyway, that is all we've got time for on this show. Ollie and I will be back on the magazine show with less D&D chat, unfortunately.
Boring.
Oh, yeah. But we have had a very nice care package sent to us by one of our pledge hammers, Marcel Jura, which we're going to open up and then we're going to enjoy what he sent across. So that'll be on Saturday's episode. We're very much looking forward to that. Take care. I love you. Goodbye.
Bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.